Right, are we ready? Oh, we are live, by the way. We're slagging him off and we are live.
Cool. In that case, then let's do it.
Right, here we go.
Get this over with.
COVID.
Symptoms.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Oh, here we go.
Would you come? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning into episode 616 of your Overseas Connection podcast. It is the 31st of January, 2021. We're all still alive. We're all still mostly sane. Thanks for joining us this week. We are a video game podcast, but we talk about a lot of things, and today is going to be no different. We will cover a wide range of topics, and we've got a full house. It's kind of exciting. So my name is Greg DeLacy, gamertag OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter, just Murphy's Law on Xbox Live. I used to have a PSN ID, but you don't care about that anymore. Trust me. We're, by the way, on every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. in the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, and if you happen to be Kim's neighbor, 3 p.m. Central Time Zone. We're on Twitch. We're on YouTube. Sadly, that's it. There's no other rival things to be on. We don't care about Facebook, apparently, so we're not there. So, that being said, Kim Woods joining the podcast today. Thank you, Kim.
Yes, sir. That's me. I'm GamerGirl27, and I'm here with my really big cup. So,
and Kim, what would be in that
one
really
girl, one
cup?
No, Mark. Hey, no,
at least it's
no.
Just one girl, Kim. One girl.
God. I have cocoa in here with a big dose of rum chata peppermint bark. So,
okay, yay. Nice. Yep. All right. Mm-hmm. Speaking of rum chata and peppermint cocoa, I don't know where I'm going with this, but Peach in on the podcast. Frozen in time. Pete, how are you?
Oh, hey, fine, ginger great, balls.
Thanks. Nothing's changed. I've still got ginger balls. I'm still frozen in time. Yeah. Good. Glad to be on.
Fuck off. I don't give two shits about wildlings. Gingers I hate.
Ah, good. Okay. Such good fond memories. Fond memories. Game of Thrones. Speaking of Game of Thrones, that's Robin's, like, neighborhood. So, Robin Tate on the podcast.
That's me. Hello. That's Robin Tate here. I am just about alive. How are you doing? I'm in Ballymena. I'm in Northern Ireland. And you may know me from the original Crossroads Motel. I was the caretaker in episode 4. You'll know me as at Bongo the Sane on the internets and everywhere. And it's nice to be on the show. So, hello.
Hey, Robin, good to have you on. Also, your expertise as a part-time hedge fund short seller. Awesome. Thank you for being on the podcast. And last but certainly not least, bracing and embracing the tin cups, we've got Mr. Mark Wright.
Hi, Greg. Hello, everyone. Yeah, Mark Alex on all the platforms except Twitter.
Okay. I think this is promising to shape up to be a fantastic show. Lots of energy.
I think you've got a lot of work ahead of you, Greg. I think you're going to have a lot of corralid to do tonight.
I would most certainly agree. The one thing I don't have to worry about is birthdays, because nobody was born this past week, so we don't celebrate anybody's birthdays this past week. So there we go. So there's no need for a birthday song, which means we could just get... I said no need for a birthday song.
Congratulations.
Corralling and
do you know that Kip Risky way? He just has to be gay, doesn't he? He really does.
Hey, let's talk about story time.
Hooray, it's story time. Hooray, it's story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
So there's a lot to unpack in story time. I'm going to start with, I think, the highlight everybody looks forward to, which is Kim Woods. Let's talk about this year's new calendar And of course the new February calendar update.
Of course. For this this month's episode of Pussy and Pecs, I think is what we decided to call it. We have we have Cohen and Arlie. So there you have it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which one's Cohen?
February. I'm not sure. So
I guess it doesn't really matter.
You be the judge. So there you have it.
Okay. Kim, can you confirm, is it still winter where you live?
Unfortunately, yes. Yes, it is still fucking winter here. So,
Kim, can you also confirm how much is left in the mug?
About half. So,
okay. Oh, my God.
Shaping up to be an excellent show.
Yeah.
Anything else going on, Kim? I know it's been you got snow.
We had rain yesterday and the snow started to melt. We were all happy, and then overnight it got cold again, and guess what came back? And as of right now, it's still snowing, so yay.
Okay.
So no, I mean, other than that, it's been a pretty normal quiet week here. I worked, I babysit Colton and the boys, and you know, no animal escaped, which is nice. So, yeah.
It's always good, especially during a snowstorm. Last thing you want to do is try and chase down an animal.
Exactly. So, no, I mean, other than that, it's like I said, it's been pretty quiet around here. So, played a little Xbox, read a little bit, you know.
Okay. I mean, on the positive front, you are in the new home, which is going to be infinitely warmer than the old house. So
I'm not freezing to death today. Yes. So, you know, we're good. So.
And you've been in a new house for 2 or 3 years now.
Yeah, about four years now.
So. I don't know why Greg's brought that up. did you just move in?
Hey, these are gray hairs for a reason, man. It feels like it was just last year.
I hear you. Every once in a while, I'll get pictures that'll pop up in memories, and then we're like, shit, was that really 4 years ago?
Yeah,
it was. So, yeah.
Yeah. By the way,
Settle, you used to have a full head of hair before he came onto this podcast.
All right, Kim. Well, thank you for that. Robin, let's talk about fitness.
Oh, yeah. Well, I did mention that I was a fat bastard again an episode or two ago. And I just sort of let myself go from September time and just drank in it. And just it was silly.
Yeah. So, that was, by the way, 4 years ago. Robin.
So, trying to get stuff into just into perspective again and be sensible. So eating sensibly, back to my trying to not just eat as many carbs as possible, just eating a good diet. But part of my fitness regime, since 1st of January to now, there's 12 pounds. So I'm happy with that. That's for a month. That's pretty good. So yeah, I want to do that 1.5 times that again, and I'm where I need to be again. But my fitness regime, and we'll get to it because it is gaming, has been all pretty much, apart from diet, VR. Okay. So we'll talk about the game. So every morning before I get up, I have a cup of coffee, have a chat with Judith, and for 30 minutes I get boogie with it, with the headset on. And it's got to the point now that Judith is now VRing every day. As well.
Oh, incredible. Wow.
Some of the videos I have are fucking awesome. If I release them, I'm for it.
Yeah. So that is blackmail material, Robin.
So that's how mainstream is this now? And she's talking to her sisters and friends that this it's a program called FitXR. We'll talk about it. At that time, but that's so mainstream now that normals are wanting to do it. I have been rotten sick ill this week. I've been at home. My goodness, I haven't been able to leave the house. What's different?
Are you able to leave the house?
Anyway, I haven't really been doing a lot of work this week. I felt rotten and a horrible chest, antibiotics, all that sort of stuff. Not like me. So you think I would have had plenty of time, but yet, was it yesterday? What day is today? Sunday. Yesterday. Oh, it was Friday. Friday afternoon or Friday morning. My Xbox Series X arrived.
Yay. Ooh. Nice.
So, nice. thank you to the gentleman, lovely gentleman, who gave me the hot deals thing, the little app. My phone binged, and I got that from Curry's, and it was delivered to me. I got it out of the box. I've been surprised by how small the monolith is. I have plugged it in. Are we talking about this now?
Small.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, lovely packaging. The box is surprisingly small. As I said earlier on,
it's cool how it's packaged, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it's lovely. You had to work out how to flip the box up and stuff. Yeah. It is very nice. You know, the girth of it, the diameter of it is correct. But I thought it was going to be taller or something or longer. Right. Things that surprised me out of the box, that there was no optical connection. My amp here has HDMI.
In fairness, Robin, that should not have surprised you because
in the weeds. What I am disappointed about is the reality of a 1 terabyte hard drive.
Yeah, it fills up quickly, doesn't it?
I haven't gamed on this at all. I plugged it into the big 65 4K behind me, and it's went, wow, you've got, lots of things, pixels. And I connected up a standard USB drive from the Scorpio, and I've started to, I'll just transfer over everything. But I can't.
Yeah, don't.
That's picky choosy.
No. And the reality is you can run Series X games.
Mm-hmm.
You can just run them from the plugged-in hard drive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's only Series X games that need to be in on the hard drive. So honestly, there's not a ton that need to be there. But you lose the benefits of fast.
So does that make any difference then if I want to play, I don't know, Fortnite? Not that I would. But does it not make any difference on the new hard drive in this machine if those old games are – not that they're old, just standard Xbox games are on it?
No. I mean, especially like for Fortnite, the only thing that really would matter there is I think maybe loading times into a lobby. It'll be faster on the Series X. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's going to play pretty much the same as it always does.
So, better idea. Forza auto sport or motorsport, you know, the load times are quite long. I mean, would that not speed that up? No?
Speed that up, yes. You should see faster loading times for a Forza game.
But the things that you were talking about, that loading times were so quick, was that only for Series X games? Series X games?
No. Quite honestly, we were comparing up. So like Watch Dogs Legions, it's on Series X and it has a update, but it's also playable off Xbox One.
Okay.
So we were comparing the load times of playing it off of the old Xbox compared to playing it off Series X.
Yeah.
That is taking advantage of the hard drive, mind you. But you could, in theory, play it off of, especially an older game, you could play it off that old hard drive. Yeah. You'll still get benefits of it,
any of games which don't have the SNX logo enhanced for – I just run off my 3 terabyte hard drive and just run it like you did One X. It's just the enhanced games I run off the internal.
Not too bad because, as you know, I went and had a look at these, what are they called again? These solid state drives.
Yeah.
I know I have them in my computer and stuff here, but the expansion. It's like 230 quid sterling.
220 quid, I've nearly bought one. But
For 1 terabyte?
Yeah. I'm hoping they're going to do a bigger one as well because Greg thinks they might do a bigger one.
I think they will. I think they will as we get into the life of the system. Just like we saw with the old 360 when it had the expandable kind of hard drive on top.
Yeah.
Eventually that started getting larger as well.
But Greg, you have a 2 terabyte portable one?
Yeah, so what I did, I bought from Amazon. Mind you, I got it on Black Friday.
You do all right.
Yeah, so I got the Sabrent Rocket Nano 2 terabyte USB 3.2 10 gigabits per second blah 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 external hard drive. So it's just basically a portable drive you can plug in. It is faster than the other hard drive I had, which is kind of a passport drive, so it is faster. And I use that for kind of storing Series X games that I'm not currently playing, but I may want to. And then I just transfer back and forth between it. Well, it takes usually about 10, 15 minutes to transfer a game between the two.
So there are now, there's this, there's the Scorpio, there's the standard OX there, and then Charlie has an Xbox. So we know that's one, two, three. Yeah, there's four Xboxes. Is that right? Four Xboxes in the house now. So I'll probably just go and purchase a 5 terabyte USB because they all need USB expansion drives on them because they've all got quite a lot of stuff. So I think I don't feel as bad now. I think I'll just order there's a 5 terabyte one for about
You can get this pretty cheap.
Yeah, 80 quid, huh?
Yeah,
and that'll tide me over for this. So that's that. I haven't played a game on it yet. It's kind of odd whether I'm not feeling well. And it's kind of been, even though I haven't been doing a lot of work, it's been a pretty busy week for me other ways.
Okay.
So as many of you know, I now dabble a little bit in New York Stock Exchange. And it's been a hell of a week, to say the least. And I've been pressing lots of buttons. A game, AMC, the whole Wall Street Bets thing against New York. I see some people saying it's a movement, and those are assholes. It's all about making money. there's been some very underhanded stuff that went on with the hedge funds.
We'll talk about that for sure in our news.
Yeah, we will. So, we can talk about what I did and what I've done and what I invested and how I've came out of it as well. I don't mind talking about that. So we'll get to that at that point then as well. So my chest, my ex, my 12 pounds, my VR, and my stocks and shares. Yeah, that's it. Okay. I'm perfect.
Perfect. Okay. Pete. Pete.
Hello.
I want to know, what's it like to be back in warmth?
You're boiler fixed.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I think it was 2 weeks ago, wasn't it, when I said my boiler had popped. And I had to wait until the Friday, so about 5 days until I got the parts. Oh, my God, it was so cold in this house. It was unreal. It was, honestly.
Is that why your camera doesn't work?
I'm still thawing out. It was freezing in this house. I was because I work in a centre that's almost runs like a hotel as well. So I was showering at work. So that was good. At least I got a shower to have. Oh my God, it was just so cold. It was just Anyway, on the Friday, my parts come. I got the boiler fixed on the Friday night, so I managed to do it in. It took me 30 minutes. As quick as that, and I had to wait bloody 5 days for the parts, but there we go. So I'm back in the warmth. But I've had a problem with my lighting in the hallway, and every time anybody walks in the loft, I've got my attic converted, the bloody light in the landing flashes. So I thought, oh my God, it's like one of the cables severed under the floor, and have I got to rip the floor up? And it's been going for about a couple of months now.
Haunted, Pete. Haunted.
Nah, I don't believe in that shit. And it was doing my head in. And I thought today, because I was on one, I had a settee that I had to take apart and cut down to small bits so I can chuck it in the car and take it down the tip. I thought, right, I'm going to have a look at that light as well. So I looked at a landing light, and it was literally just like a bit of a wiring fault in the actual fitting as well. It was just a loose wire. So I've put that back in, tightened it up, and it's running sweet. So I've got no more flashing lights. I'm in the warmth. I've had a few calls this week, like having to deal with like members of my family as well, like the elderly folk.
Taking him out or
what?
like you did with the SETI, you
know? yeah
saw their legs off to fit them in the boot.
Yeah, it's a real problem. That is an issue. especially with your car, because because we know it's like, you know, like The Incredibles, you know, at the beginning of Incredibles, when your man comes home in his car and he just about squeezes in. That's
right.
That's you, Pete.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, well, this is it. It was a problem because I had to saw off their head and arms as well to get them into the car. So, no, bless them. I had my one uncle who I normally do shopping for. He had a COVID injection this week, and I wrote my phone number down on top of the letter that he has, and I said, if you go to the surgery, I said, if you feel unwell, because some people have been feeling a bit dicey once they've had this injection, mm-hmm. and I thought he'll be all right. He's hard as nails, and lo and behold, I had a phone call. Your uncle's like, he's not feeling too good. I think it hurt him. So I had to, he's 79, so I had to go and pick him up and take him back home. And then my other uncle, he's got one of these, I don't know if you've got them in the US. I'm sure you have, like call alarms. He's got one around his wrist. And if you've got an emergency, you press the button and it goes. Anyway, I had a phone call off one of those and it says, your uncle's okay, but... we went round for a routine call, and he's not got any electric on his ground floor as far as his sockets. In his bungalow and in his garage. So I went round, and he hadn't had nothing from like since breakfast to eat, and it's like 5 o'clock in the afternoon now. So he's all concerned and confused. I think he's coming down with a bit of. Memory problems. I don't know whether it's dementia. It might be coming. I don't know. Anyway, so his dryer had blown in the garage. So I had to unplug like all of the appliances and whatever and plug them all in one at a time and with the fuse popping just to work out which one that was. Anyway, it was the dryer. So I managed to get him back up and running. And then I said, are you all right? Because I got him his food out and stuff. And I said, you okay? You're good for me to go? He's like, yeah, I'll be fine. So I shut the door and I went round to pop the key where it needs to go in a hidden place. And I heard him scream and he fell over and he cut his arm on the radiator. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I'm like, I'm back in the house and I'm trying to sort his arm out and manage to get his food sorted. So I think his blood sugar levels was low because he hadn't had nothing to eat all day. And so it's just been one of them weeks. The thing I put on the end of my notes that I'm thinking of ending things, that wasn't because I've had a bit of a week. It's because I watched this film last night and it's called I'm Thinking of Ending Things. And after watching it, I really am thinking of ending things because it's absolute trash. It's the worst, probably one of the worst films that I've ever seen. And it got a good cast. It got Jesse Plemons, who stars, is in Fargo season 2. And there's David Thewlis, who's in Harry Potter. I'm trying to think what he does. He's in Dragonheart, the Boy in the Striped Pyjamas. I know he's in that. Lupin, is it Remus Lupin. Anyway. He's a famous actor, so I thought it's a good cast. And it was the biggest pile of shit. It's supposed to be a horror, and it was terrible. It was just like this car journey most of the time with a man and a woman, and you couldn't get any of the film whatsoever. I couldn't make heads or tails of it, so God knows where Eric got it.
Rotten Tomatoes is your friend.
Huh?
Rotten Tomatoes is your friend. IMDb is your friend.
Yeah.
No, that's what I used, and it got out of horror films, it got quite a good rating. It was terrible. Absolutely terrible. I don't trust that anyway, IMDb, because there's other films like Stalker and The Big Lebowski and other things that are rated so high and they're terrible. And that
The
was
Big
just
Lebowski a... is great. You shut your
mouth.
Big
Lebowski.
That's striking against
Pete right there.
Hey, yeah. Listen, I don't want to get into any arguments. I'll move on. Don't waste your time, Mark. Just stick another 2.5 hours into Assassin's Creed.
I remember when you guys reviewed it on Entertainment.
Awesome.
It's terrible. Anyway, apart from all the drama and getting back in the warmth and all that stuff, my best entertainment on TV these past couple of weeks has been Married at First Sight in Australia. Oh, my God. If anybody has never seen this
program, is that where they marry someone they've ever seen them?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard about this, yeah.
Well, there's, nope.
You don't like the Big Lebowski?
Exactly.
I tell you what, you don't deserve the Big Lebowski. You don't dare try to watch it again.
Great.
Don't dare.
Yeah, but Robin, what do you expect for someone who likes Towie?
Yeah, flipping stay with Crimson Tide. Don't go near the Hunt for Red October. Oh, that's what I remember. I have to talk about that flipping Das Boot pile of fucking shit that was.
Das Boot was good. Fuck yourself.
So,
still, man. Fucking 2.5 hours director's cut special. Was it 3.5 hours and nearly friggin' grew a submarine?
So, Married at First Sight is literally what it says on the tin. You get two people, never met each other before, and they get married. And there's a TV season in the UK. They film it in the US, apparently, and they also film it in Australia. Now, as far as ratings go, and I think as far as how long it's been filmed, I think Australia's been running the longest. And I think this is its sixth or seventh season. And this season that's running at the moment in the UK on Channel 4 is the most dramatic season. And oh my God, it is so dramatic. We have been living for this program at 9 o'clock at night. I don't know what it is, but it's just addictive. It's just dramatic. And we don't normally watch TV. Honestly, we could easily do away with our TV altogether. We spend a lot of time in the dining room playing games, board games, just other recreational stuff apart from watching the fucking TV that we do. And this, honest to God, man, if anybody's not watched this program, you've just got to watch it, especially if we're in lockdown and you're stuck with stuff to watch. Yeah, Married at First Sight Australia, just watch it. The latest season, it is epic. And that's me. I've been talking long enough.
I think Robin needs to unmute himself because it's telling me I can't unmute him.
Bastards. Judith and his two sisters, and if any of the first people to start foster caring a long time ago now, 14 years ago, and at the beginning their sisters went, no, what are you going to do to your family, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, all three of them now are fostering as well. And over the last month, they've been talking quite a bit, and they've started a support group which Judith teaches new foster carers. Anyway, if you want to know more about that, go to on Instagram at @LoveShareFoster. They've set up a lovely logo, all bits and pieces, a support thing. It's going to be some funny stories and anecdotes and bits and pieces about fostering. So if you want to know more about that, check it out, whether you're in the US, UK, no matter where you are. So Love, Share, Foster. Yes, Das Boot. So I've been through the movies now. Sorry, I got to do this. And by the way, I did have a COVID injection. It hurt my arm. I didn't faint. So I've been through The Hunt for Red October, the best submarine movie of all time. I watched The Crimson Tide and appreciate it, but it was get my keys. So I want my keys. I want my keys. Go away. It's all over. We're all friends again. That was
the highlight of Red October is one ping only. That's the highlight of the movie.
Okay, right, whatever. He slipped on his tee.
Das Boot.
I watched Das Boot, and I was looking to try and get it. I had to end up renting it from Apple Store, and it was the director's cut. And I think it was, if you look at it, Mark, I think it's either 2.5 or 3.5 hours long. And although I appreciate it, that it's a classic piece of depressing World War II stuff, everybody dies, bar some people. Spoilers. It's interesting and classic, but damn, it's a grind of a movie. I couldn't say it's a better movie than... Right. There's different... We're talking about exciting movies. The Hunt for Red October is exciting popcorn, and Crimson Tide is exciting popcorn. Das Boot is dirty, and you can smell the BO, and you can smell
yes,
it.
You can.
It's that sort of movie.
You feel claustrophobic in that movie.
I appreciate it, but I couldn't say it was the best submarine movie for... Yeah, maybe for realism, yeah. Now, I did watch Tom Hanks this week.
Oh, did you watch the
Greyhound?
Yeah.
And although that was all right too, you know. I was just saying it was all right, but very interesting about, you know, it's about he is a new commander going across the Atlantic in World War II, and all the submarines, Wolfpack, is coming to try and attack this thing, and he has to try and outsmart them, and he's in one of these fast, for the time, ships that try to kill submarines. And very interesting. I didn't know that sort of stuff went on to that level. But again, I wouldn't say that was classic Tom Hanks either. But yeah, I'm into all this stuff at the moment. Anyway, I've taken up too much of your time. I must go. Goodbye.
Mark.
Yes.
What's been going on, Mark?
I've been catching up on some podcasts, like I mentioned last week. So I caught up on all the Joystick and Chiller ones. So I started listening to the Seal podcasts. And yes, I've got quite a backlog of those. Those are going back to September. I'm listening away, and I've got through one episode, got through another episode. Next thing I know, I hear the Boss Wave theme tune, thinking, what the fuck is my phone fucked up here? Went on Podcast Addict. Yeah, no, nope, there's a Boss Wave episode on the Seal podcast feed. As I thought it was a mistake, so I went on to the next one, and then Pilch is on that, and I hear Fraser saying they were happy to host their episode, because apparently their renewal didn't go through. But it's just a one-off. There's not been no other episodes, so I don't know what happened there. But yeah, slowly getting through all the other podcasts. Just been really
speaking,
busy.
By the way, of the SEAL Team podcast, their latest episode, they discuss burgers, which instantly made me hungry. I now want a hamburger.
Well, I heard the episode with you on, Greg. That was good.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. Yeah, they're good. They're a good group of people. Yeah. I give them a hard time because they're Canadian. Well, led by a Canadian, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But still okay.
I've been quite busy at work this week because I've had to cover in Leeds. Our MOT tester, we've only got one MOT tester, and he came down with COVID. So he's now off. So we've had to borrow Leeds' MOT tester because they've got a couple. But the deal was, we borrowed their MOT tester, but I had to go over to Leeds to cover. Boy, same company, but different area. What a difference in, sort of like, not how it's run, but customers and customer numbers and stuff. They're in a bit of a industrial area of Leeds, and we get loads, where we are in Shipley, we're on a prime spot, main road, we get loads of walking customers, loads of phone calls. I was bored stupid at Leeds. There was no phone calls, hardly any customers at all. It was a very weird experience. And as you all know, when you are bored and nothing to do at work, the day just drags on big time. And then I had a 45-minute drive home instead of like a 5-minute drive home. So yeah, it's been a weird week.
What warrants you to be an MOT tester?
What do you need to be one?
Yeah.
You have to be obviously qualified and have the examination certificate to prove it. If you don't have them, you have to sit a short exam test thing to prove that you are knowledgeable enough. And then I think you have to do like an assessment, and then they come out and watch you do a run through of a test, and when they're happy with you, then they approve you. I did it. I've done it for 30 years, but I don't want to do it anymore.
Do you realise how MOTs are done over here?
Yours are a lot stricter, aren't they?
Yeah, so you cannot go to a garage.
Yeah, it has to be an approved. Yeah, I've heard about this. It has to be an approved centre, yeah.
So they have MOT centres which are run by the government, the council, and that's all they do. But they don't fix the cars.
No.
They just do the testing. So it's like usually four or five rows with a trench, and the cars are constantly going MOT checking, and that's there's none of that private stuff goes on.
We used to do that with the HGVs over here, but we've even stopped that now. We've just cut the funding to DVSA really badly. So yeah. Wow. But yeah, that's about it really. Not much going on.
Okay.
Not much TV. We started a new series. I'm only a couple of episodes in, so I don't know how I feel about it yet. Called Winx, with Saga or something. Fate the Winx Saga.
First sight.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Wife loves fantasy, teenage, magic and all that crap. So we started watching that. I've not seen last week's. Expanse yet. I need to catch up on that.
Oh, very good. It's good. It's good for this week. It's good.
I might watch it tomorrow because I'm off work tomorrow. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's me. Short and sweet.
All right. Cool. I guess that leaves me. So air fryer, continue to experiment around with it.
Waffles. Talk to me about waffles. I've got more to add. You do your air fryer. On you go.
Okay. Yeah, no, haven't made waffles with the air fryer. Don't think I'd recommend that. But
chicken pieces in it. We've got a Actifry air fryer, and ours has got a revolving thing, so it rotates it. And put chicken pieces in, they come out fucking gorgeous.
Yeah, we do potato wedges. Yeah. Lovely.
I did some bacon up today, but I found out the air fryer is really good as long as you get the time right for steak. It's a nice quick. So we have a grill plate that I can put into the air fryer, so it gives it the markings.
Yeah.
And I cooked up a fantastic steak the other night, and I was like, this beats having to go out in the rain to my grill to try and cook up a steak. So that is now my new substitute grill during wintertime, just use the air fryer.
How do you like your steak, Greg?
I'm tend to be medium. Medium rare, medium is where I usually fall in. Mm. So I'm not a rare person.
I'm the person everyone hates. I'm not well done person, but I'm a medium to well done. I don't like it pink in the middle. It just puts me off. I don't know why. And I know people say it's the best bit, but it just puts me off.
Yeah. I like mine to be mooing.
my steak does have to be dead.
Just dead. I don't mind. Just about dead. I'd be very much just rare, very rare, please.
Jenny likes us cremated.
So that's just adjusting the time on the air fryer.
Yeah.
It did a remarkably good job. So I was pleasantly surprised with that find. I also, just talking about steak prep, one of the things, you pull the steak out of the fridge. I always set my steak out for at least 15 minutes, get it up to room temperature.
Yeah.
Also,
down your pants for a while is good.
Don't forget to pound your steak.
I do.
Robin's always pounding his meat
a little bit.
He's always sending me pictures of his pounding his meat. I wasn't supposed to tell anyone. Sorry, Robin.
Down my pants and get that big mallet.
You're a better man than me, Robin. I don't even work. I just use my fist. I pound it with the fist.
Oh yeah, flip me. You're fisting my steak.
But also important, a good seasoning. I like my steak seasoned. I'm not one of those people that just throws it on with nothing on it at all. I can live with just salt and pepper type seasoning if you want to do that. But what I really like is a good Montreal seasoning, and you got to work it into the steak.
What seasoning?
Canada? What?
What?
No, I don't know what it's going to be called over there, but it's a Montreal seasoning is what we call it.
What is it? What's in it?
It's like salt, pepper. It's got some different herbs in there as well.
You're an American.
Yep. So you sprinkle it on, and then you have to mash it into the steak so it sticks to the steak. I don't want to use oil on the steak, that kind of thing. And it is absolutely fantastic.
Makes me fucking hungry now.
Mcormick and Schmidt Montreal seasoning, Robin. Look it up. Now it makes me wish I had something like this.
Garlic, dill, black pepper, red pepper flakes, salt, and... Come up, some young guy.
There you go. That makes it, that actually makes the taste right there.
Sounds good, actually.
But make sure you pound your steak, people.
Yeah.
All right.
Beat that meat.
Have you been watching? Have you seen any of that barbecue program on Netflix? It was on about
women.
Tootsie Tamments or whatever.
I think Hadley Dan put it in the Joysticks and Chills saying that never seen a barbecue thing like it. Says it's awesome.
She's 85 and she's from Texas and she's got this world known best barbecue and you should watch that because fuck that's good.
There's only two good things coming to Texas. I watched that this week again.
We had a windstorm out here. So here's the deal. Our the winds hit upwards of 65 miles an hour. So it was a proper storm. And it took out our neighbor's tree and her fence. And then part of our fence went down. So we get now, we filed an insurance claim. We're getting a whole brand new fence.
We would call it a windy day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it had a little bit of rain, but it was surprising because they were like, "Oh, it's gonna be a big storm." not a lot of rain to it, but the wind was like for 24 hours, it was just whipping anywhere from 30 miles an hour upwards of 65. So it made for a long night.
Yeah, we'd do a lot.
I don't think we'd even get
week.
That on the insurance. We wouldn't get insurance for fence panels or for fencing. I don't think we get it. Like, we get fence panels blown down, God knows how many times a year. Yeah. That's nuts.
Yeah, who put them up?
Better insurance. I think it's actually the original fences built by the maker of the house. So they were due. Trust me, they were due to be built. But yes, Pete, maybe you should have somebody else put your fences up.
Nah.
Last but not least, if you are a Samsung TV owner, especially if you have a KS8000 or 8500, and I don't know what it is over on your neck of the woods for our UK friends, because I know you guys have different numbers for the TVs for some dumb reason. But Samsung just released an update, and one of the things that I always had a problem with my TV was in game mode, it actually dimmed things down a little bit, like the HDR wasn't quite right. And so you had to try to tweak all different kinds of settings to make it be the way it should be. This update clears all of that up. It works fantastic in game mode now, and it's almost like you're seeing the TV in a brand new way. Was pleasantly surprised by the update.
Okay.
And for a TV, that's what I got it in, I think 2016, 2017, somewhere in there. So it's a few years old. I'm surprised they're still updating it as often as they do, but was happy about that. So there you go.
Good deal.
Good stuff.
All right. Let's talk about waffles. Games.
Oh, waffles. Kim.
Oh, yeah. I suppose we should talk about waffles. Let's talk about waffles.
So,
okay, waffles.
Not blue ones.
So,
Shut up, Mark. God damn it.
It's for breakfast. Yes, it sort of happens here, but not very often. It's a very American thing.
Waffles.
Yeah. So, but I mean, in the last while, I've been researching waffle machines and other bits and pieces. Right. And I'm looking at the best waffle machines. Anyway, Judith comes home with one. I wouldn't have bought it, but I'm very happy that you did. And we've been making keto recipe waffles. So
interesting.
And they've been fantastic. I love the waffle. I had waffles with some fruit and yogurt, and it's been wonderful. And one with an egg on it, bacon.
You know what I don't get is the waffle chicken combo, and it's a big thing in the South, in America. I don't get it at all. It makes no sense to
either.
Me. I tried it a number of times. I'm like,
won't the waffle
like
be
chicken?
Too sweet to be with chicken?
No, it's the sweet and salty thing, I think, is what they're trying to go for. But I'm just like, I don't. Yeah, it doesn't work for me as a combination.
I'd rather fake it.
Anyway,
I just like waffles with strawberries and cream on, which is fucking gorgeous. What you get at Seaside?
Yeah, I made French toast today. There's that. Anyway, I'm hungry now.
I had bacon.
I'm starving now, bastards.
Bacon.
All right, let's go on to game time. Kim, before we go on to game time, let's do a shout out. Anybody in the chat... Give him a shout out.
Lord is in the chat, or was in the chat. Boomer is in the chat. So, Brother. Boomer's in the chat. And there's been Commander Root and Kosigan is in the, I guess, the viewer box, I guess you'd say.
The viewer box?
And
the viewer box,
Miss Lenita?
Yeah. They're not in the chat, but they're in the list of viewers. So there you go.
Boomer, by the way, was a... call sign from Battlestar Galactica.
Yes, it was. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I loved that program.
I loved the remake far more than I liked the original. I will just say this.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Oh, yeah, because of boobies.
Gary Harris.
Mark, what's your point?
Yes. Gary Harris is Boomer. Yep.
Gary Harris.
All right. Let's talk some games. Come on.
All right, stop it. Mr. Hollis?
Today I feel like playing computer games.
You realize I haven't had rum in almost a month.
I'm sorry, what?
I haven't had rum in almost a month.
Oh, rum. Okay. That's not what I thought you said.
I
went to buy a bottle.
I thought I heard woman, but all right.
At 8:05 in the evening, and I couldn't buy it in Northern Ireland because all the licenses were closed.
Curfew.
Because of COVID. Yep.
God damn it, COVID.
Well, we're out of America yet. So Richard Webster had a dream that I had moved to America.
Stranger Things is happening, Big Nas.
I think we call that a prediction.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about video games. We have been playing them.
Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you what we have been doing. We've been doing slacking shit because we haven't updated February's free games, have we?
No, we have not.
They just came out. It's not February yet. By the time the next show comes around next weekend, they'll be updated.
It is in 3 hours, 15 minutes for us.
Kim, the voice of sensibility.
Right?
Basically,
technically, we still have one that's out till, you know, the 15th of February. So we're all right. Yeah. And you know, January is a PlayStation is, you know.
I can do the games with gold right quick if you want.
God's sake.
Why not?
We have Gears 5 available 1st of 28th of February. You can't get it on the 29th of February, though, or the 30th, just to let you know. Just make sure. Resident Evil is available 1st of 28th. Dandara Trials of Fear Edition, 16th of February to 15th of March. Indiana Jones and the Emperor's Womb. That's 1st of 15th of February. And John Wilson's favourite ever game, the crap that is Frost Granite 2, or in some places it's called Lost Planet 2. That's available February 16th to 28th. So John Mouse will be very happy with that.
That or upset because he had actually already bought it.
I
expect
Google.
You to look up the PlayStation.
I'm doing it. Fucking hell, hold your horses, man.
Live, real time.
Google's your friend. Right,
let's hear it.
We have.
It's quite a good month.
Destruction All Stars and Control Ultimate Edition. So not too bad on your PS Plus.
All right.
Yeah, those are your what you pay for.
Free games, what you paid for. Now let's talk about what we have paid for and actually played. Let's start with Kim.
Oh, all right. Sure.
You have quite a lot of games on your list here. So I'm like, hey, now.
I know, right? I don't know. I guess I wanted to fire up the Xbox, but I really wasn't wanting to jump back into MLR. I don't know. I think I'm getting a little burnout. And there was you've got your, and the Game Pass, your quests, right? Mm-hmm. Well, they had one for Middle Earth, Shadow of War. You had to go in, kill 75 orcs, whatever. I thought, all right, I'll try it, you know. So I fired it up because I've been wanting to play them anyway. And I tried it. And I have to say, other than being a little confuzzled about, you know, what all you have to do, because there seems like there's a lot of things you have to do. I mean, you don't just go in there and kill a bunch of orcs and shit and call it good. No, you have to find things and you have to find certain captains and, you know, try to kill them. And holy moly. Yeah. But I mean, as a whole, it was pretty good. I killed my 75, well, probably more than 75 bad guys. But because I played it for probably a good hour. So, yeah.
Do you like it more or less than Kings of Amalur? Curious?
It definitely was a change of pace. I'll put it that way. Mm-hmm. Because, like I said, I've put 100 and some hours in Amalur, so I'm kind of to the point now that it's, you know, it's about time to be done with it and move on to something else.
You're probably right about this because this game
has a question.
As you say, Kim, on the whole, it was very good.
This game frustrated me. The first game, I loved the first game, but Shadows of Mordor. But this one, it shifts gear in different like acts, and it wants you to do different things, and it makes you do different things. It doesn't let you just carry on as you want to do. So I ended up quitting this after like the third section. It really frustrated me. But yeah, you've probably just done the right amount, really, Kim.
Yeah, because to be fair, I quit, and then I went back to it later to do something else, and I realized it put me back to the start of when I had to run through the first, because you go through it and you have to get the planetar from the city or check on it or whatever. Well, at the same time, the city is under siege. Well, when they first put you near the city, you have to go through an orc camp.
Yeah.
So I went through and did all that. Well, then when I restart, when I shut it off and come back, and I saved it, it put me right back at the start of this orc camp.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I killed them already. Why am I back here? But thankfully, I could like get my little super fast, what do you want to call it, wraith speed or whatever you want to call it, And I pretty much avoided all that and got back to where I was at. But that annoyed me a little because, you know, you'd think they'd put you back where you ended up. But no, you had to go all the way back through there. And that kind of sucked. Yeah.
But the last section of a game, it wants you to do base building and army building and recruiting. And that's not what I thought this game would be at all. It just really frustrated me. Did you get that far into it? Greg,
sorry.
Did you get far into that? Did you get to that section where it changes gear and wants you to?
No, I did not. I did not.
It was so frustrating for me.
Yeah, that would have disappointed me a little.
I turned it off.
And I mean, I like Middle Earth, but but I don't know. I just now after hearing all that, I don't know now if I want to go back to it. I would like to try the first one to see how it goes.
The first one, I loved the first game. Yeah,
I haven't played the first one yet. So. Yeah. But I did like his little stealth thing where you could sit there and you could stealth kill. And for me, not being stealthy at all, that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, the more you talk about this and all of that, I'm not sure I'm up for all that. But who knows? We'll see. But other than that, I played Control. I started that because I've been interested in this thing since it came out. So I wanted to see what it was about. And let me say, it wasn't what I thought.
Yeah, that was kind of how I came across with Control as well. For me, it came across much more horror-like than I anticipated.
Yes. There was more supernatural which I don't know exactly what I was thinking wasn't this. But I mean, it's not a bad thing. And the more I think about it, we all know Remedy games. They all have that little bit of weird supernatural.
Right.
Even Max Payne even had a little bit of that weird supernatural shit going on.
I think this was more Alan Wake-like than I thought it was going to be. I expected it to be more Quantum Break, which still has its supernaturalness, but it took a long while for it to really kind of to build up in that game, whereas this, I feel like, from like minute one, you're just like, okay, this is just creepy, weird, I think it has that kind of horror creep vibe to it, but the reality is it never really goes there. So that was, I guess, the other kind of part to it is I was like, well, it never really gets scary. It just is creepy.
It's like it builds you up to that, but you never actually get there. It's always on like the outer fringe of it or something. Right. You're waiting for whatever it is to jump out and get you, but then nothing. Okay, like the first part. I walk in the building. You run onto the janitor guy. Well, before that, they had that whole cut scene with the director and what he does, and then they show the janitor, and you're thinking the janitor's going to turn around and be some like gigantic spook fest or something, and he turns around and he's just a weird, wacky janitor. So it's like, okay, he's not going to bite my head off, but what in the hell, you know, he's just a weird, strange, okay. And I mean, with the lights being off, and then every once in a while, it flashes the red, and you see the things hanging, the bodies hanging from the ceiling, and you're like, okay, what in the hell is going to happen now? And then guys show up and start shooting at you, and you're like, all right. So I don't know. I'll give it some more, you know, I'll give it some more time, but it's not exactly what I thought, and I don't know. I may end up loving it, but for right now, I'm a little undecided.
Yeah, I will say that kind of the very opening part of this game, and yes, this is a little bit spoiler, so appalled. As I get choked up, apologies. It's just that you know the very moment of the game that starts up, you're walking into this building, and you're on the street, and there's all these people walking by, and you walk into this building, and there is nobody there,
right?
And it just struck me as kind of odd. Like, wouldn't other people be like noticing that there's like zero people in this building as they walk by it? You know,
right?
It just, you know, because the doors are open. It's like anybody could be walking into it. It just, I don't know. It was a weird opening setup. The game itself, I played a little bit further than I think you have, Kim. So it never gets to that horror part and maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. But it always promises like it's going to have those jump scare moments. And they just never seem
happen.
They never seem to come out.
And so far, the only thing that has scared me is when the fucking doors automatically open and close on their own. You know, when you go to walk towards a building and that fucking door opens and then you go in and next thing it closes and then it magically opens. That's what scares the shit out of me. That right there. It's not the weird zombie fellas that are shooting at me with the gun that like talks to you or the pyramid or whatever the fuck it is that's, you know, talking to you.
Yeah. By the way, she's talking about it's a game mechanic. They open doors automatically for you when you get close to them. And it will freak you out because you're thinking, okay, what just opened that door?
Nobody, right?
It was you. It was you.
Yeah, right? It's like your mental capacity or I don't know, something. And I had to get I had to laugh a little bit at her. I think it was Shawshank Redemption sort of Easter egg, I think she was talking about, because she was talking about the poster, and then she was talking about the movie where there was a poster on the wall, and there was the hole or whatever behind it, and I kept thinking to myself, I know what she's talking about, and then it took me a minute to realize, I think it was Shawshank Redemption, but I might be wrong, so I thought that was kind of neat, but I don't know, Control, it's not what I thought it was, but I may stick with it and see if I can get a little further and see if maybe it, you know, if I end up liking it, or if not, well, Game Pass, you know.
There you go. And speaking of Game Pass, your last game?
Yes, speaking of Game Pass, and another weird game.
Yes!
Donut Country, Donut County.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell? I mean, I went into this game.
Brilliant.
Right? Well, it's something. And, you know, it's... one thing's for sure. Raccoons are evil, and donuts can be used for evil. That is what I got from this game. So,
The irony of that, Kim, I think you actually already knew this lesson in your just from your life experience. Raccoons are evil, and donuts can be used for evil. Okay.
Right, exactly. But no, it's kind of, I don't know, it kind of reminded me of the Untitled Goose Game in a way, just because of the way it looked and everything else. But I will say it is kind of neat. I did like dragging your little... Oh, this is going to sound terrible, but dragging the hole around and you know, gobbling up all the garbage and the people and all that was kind of neat. And
I'm biting my lip.
I know.
So the game is it's for those PlayStationary Japanesey fans. It's reverse Katamari, where as you got the ball got bigger. In this case, the ball doesn't get bigger. It's the hole of the donut gets bigger.
Hole gets bigger.
The more you use the hole, the bigger it gets.
I love the backstory from this, where this was actually sort of made as a joke and from a parody account from Peter Molyneux way back, which is friggin' awesome that connection is there. Lots of the locations in it are so random and off the wall. They're based from Bruce Springsteen songs, like Ashbury Park and the New Jersey Turnpike is one of the levels as well. So those are all Bruce Springsteen songs, which is the other weird connections. It's just, I found it refreshingly weird. It's so odd. It's such an odd thing. Like, what's going on here? But you just can't stop.
Well, that's it, and I completed it this morning.
I'm going to download it.
But the funny thing is, I didn't get all the achievements, and apparently, I must have liked it well enough. I went back and got every single achievement. So, and the achievements weren't really hard to get, but so I don't know. Donut County.
Good experience. A good little experience game. Very good. I'm glad you put it.
And it's it's on Game Pass, so you're not out anything. So, you know.
Yeah, less than a donut.
Try.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Let's go, Pete. Pete, let's talk about Bangkok.
Robbie, talks about bashing your meat, aren't we?
One night in Bangkok. $5. Love you long time.
You understand why I'm writing that, don't you?
No.
Because you played chess.
go on. Educate me.
Yeah. Okay, for next week, you look that up then. Okay, you understand why I'm saying that. All right.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Poor Pete.
What would you like to talk about, Pete? Let's go.
I've been playing chess. I told you I wouldn't be that, like, I wouldn't be that forthcoming with computer games and new games over the next few weeks. I've been playing chess, and yeah, that's it. I've really enjoyed my chess games. I don't know what else you want me to say about it. I need friends.
Yeah, you know this, Pete. Basically, yeah.
I'll be your friend.
Please send. Yeah, at the legit Chinny is looking for pen pals and friends.
Yeah, I need
he's a nice fella. I wouldn't say he's middle-aged. He's a young man yet. He's healthy enough. He likes to swim. He likes to drink cocktails on the beach. And if you'd like to meet up with him, he'll more than happily do that with you, socially distanced, of course. But please, be his friend. Be Pete's friend.
I don't know what else exciting I've played on chess this week. Oh, in fact, no.
What's your username on there, Pete, for people to find you?
The Legit Jenny.
Right, okay.
I'm so predictable. there's a puzzle rush and puzzle battle section, so you can go head to head in working out different chess puzzles. So they're already pre-constructed by AI, and you have a battle to go against somebody else across the world and solve as many battles as you can. And it's the first to get to 10, I think, or solve so many in a certain time. I've been playing solo chess, so I've been playing chess and I've even been playing it on my own.
Is that that scene from Forrest Gump when Forrest Gump's playing table tennis by himself?
Yeah. That's Pete.
Now, listen, right, solo chess is really cool. No, it really is. You have to take, you start off with two pieces on the board, which is really, really easy.
The most fun you can have without a vibrator. It's fabulous.
I was going to say, Pete, there's other things you can do that are solo that might be more rewarding.
Jeez, you know what? I'm never going to sell this, am I? But
not really.
There's this section. It's called Solo Chess, right? And level one, it's just a waste of time. But when you get to like level 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, it gets a lot more exciting. You've got about 30 chess pieces on the table on the board, and you have to move them, and you can to take each other, and you have to basically be left with one chess piece on the table. And you can only take one chess piece. You can only take a piece. Oh my god! You can only take two pieces with the chess piece. It's really hard to explain. But solo chess is so exciting. I'm
really exhilarated right now. Pete.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm just gonna stop right because this is just ridiculous. Listen, I just need.
This is boring. I'm bored.
It's boring. No, but you know what? I have
the interesting thing about that is.
Oh no! No, but listen, right? Listen,
just keep selling it. I love that Pete is like,
really?
I'm doubling down. Just listen, it's good. I tell you,
it's fucking awesome, right? But I mean,
what do you think? You see one crowded, polluted, stinking tide.
Boring.
The buzz is back. Yep.
Yeah. I need friends. just go to chess.com. Go to chess.com, register an account, and please fucking send me a friend request,
I've
right?
I've just done it, Pete. You've got one.
There we go. I've got a friend.
Well, it's Mark, so, you know, there's that. But
I've achieved whatever I needed to tonight. Yeah, I've got a friend. That's tonight's achievement. There we go.
You've got a friend.
Say when you wake up. All you need to do is achieve something, and I've achieved that. I've got Mark as a friend. Okay.
Oh.
I have been playing another game as well, but I'll wait for that.
I
can jump in with you on that one. No, me and Greg can jump in with you.
Well, I don't know when you're going to talk about it. Okay.
Yeah. Let's talk about Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Pete.
Yes. Oh, my God. I'm 60 hours in on this game, and I have not even touched probably, I don't know, the second half of the game. This is just, it's phenomenal, this game. I don't know.
Why did you lead with chess?
Robin, mute if you're fiddling with your wires.
What?
Mute if you're fiddling with your wires.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
We can hear your chair moving around and all your wires moving.
Am I not allowed to move?
What? Yeah, but mute.
I want to plug my vibrator in.
Oh, dear God. All right. Pete, let's talk about Assassin's Creed Valhalla. You're loving the game. You're 60 hours in.
Yeah, I'm 60 hours in, and I'm on the Jotunheim.
Missions. I've done that. Yeah,
I've just started those missions. So yeah. When you was talking about that the other day on text, I was like, I don't know what the hell you're on about. Yeah. So
yeah, a bit like when Yusa mentioned Asgard, I didn't know what you were on about. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, I ain't even got there yet, and you was on about like ranking up so much through that section. I was like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I have spent most of my time just going around getting all of the synchronization points in, you know, all of the high points in all of the maps. I've just been getting artifacts. I've been going and getting gold, gear, the Book of Knowledges.
Yeah.
I've also got all of the codex pages. Have you done that? Have you gone to all the bureaus?
No, not really. I've been concentrated on like missions and that, because that's why I've been getting a lot more XP than you have.
Yeah, well, I don't know, because I've what level am I? 140 some odd now.
I'm 227. I've done all of...
Nobody likes a bragger, Mark.
I know. I'm just saying that's the difference.
Are they going to be breaking out the ruler?
No, but me and Pete have been chatting about this game on text, and Pete kept saying, "How are you leveled up so much?" It's because I've been doing the missions, and the missions give you a shitload of XP.
Yeah, but this is the thing. You're playing through the game. You're wading through this game. I'm doing
50-50. I am as well. I'm doing 50-50.
No, I am doing probably 80-20.
Yeah.
I am doing 80%. I'm doing 80% bullshitting. Yeah. Right? I'm just going around doing random shit.
So here's the question.
Can I just say something?
All right. Let's dial this back. I get that you love the game.
Yeah.
However, based on what I'm hearing, it feels like this game has a lot of filler to it. Like, they could have cut this down some and made it a little bit more reasonable. 60 hours in and you're not even halfway there feels excessive.
Yeah, but that's because he's not doing the story missions. I'm about the same timing, and I'm halfway, well, three quarters of the way through the game.
I'm trying to explain how big this game is.
But some of the wealth you cannot get access to until you've done certain missions. So you won't get all the wealth anyway.
But I guess, again, kind of going back, my question here is this good design or is this bad design? Because to me, this feels excessively long.
It's Ubisoft design.
It makes me not want to play the game.
It's how they do all the games. All your Ghost Recons, all the previous Assassin's Creed, they all do this.
No, I mean I get that, Mark. But I guess my question or my comment is,
hey, I'd prefer it to be shorter.
Are we getting a bad design?
Sorry, Kim. Go on. I've stopped you about three times now. You go. Go on.
It's all right. But the thing of it is, you can also pick and choose, because it's the same way with RPGs. You can either go and you can do just straight line, main the story, and that's it. Or you can, do all the side quests. However you want to do it. So, I mean, that's entirely up to you. If you want to finish it within 30 hours, then you do the story missions, and that's it.
Voice of reason, Kim. Yep. I like it.
I absolutely love Viking history, and I've just immersed myself into this game and this environment, and I've just loved everything about it. I've loved all of the side quests. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just going to keep interrupting you. So, based on your love of Viking history, how accurate are you feeling the animus is in Viking lore?
I think there's some good references to historical facts, but it does say at the start of the game they're only taking bits and pieces out of it and using it in, you know, a fictional story, but they've just, the way they pay homage to some of the characters or some of the history is so cool. It's just brilliant. I just can't break away from getting into just searching for gold or searching for artifacts or looking at the all of the mysteries of the land or just bumping into random people and just taking on side quests. I've just not even bothered with the main story. And I don't know how far's Jotunheim, Mark,
in
as far as the story goes.
Well, that it isn't. It's more of a side thing because it all depends on if you build a certain building in the base. I don't want to give any spoilers. Unless you, until you build that hut for that certain person, you won't go to Jotunheim, would you? You go to that other place. You go to Asgard, what you mentioned last time. You go there first, and then you go to Jotunheim. So until you get that woman in that hut, some people might not do that base building, so they might not ever go there.
I think it guides you to that.
I found that by chance. Yeah, I've just been building as much building as I can, and I found that Asgard thing by chance.
Right. But it kind of just pushes you towards it then.
Right.
I've found that I saturated most of the game, and I was left with taking on contracts every day, building my settlement to level 6.
Yeah.
What was the other one? There's the order, which is absolutely huge. So the order of characters that you need to assassinate, there's about, I don't know, 30-35 characters that you need to assassinate.
Yeah, it was like writing an Odyssey, yeah.
And I got to a point where you can only go so far, and you need to continue with the story before you even uncover, I think, clues.
Yeah, you have to get clues, yeah. Like, I did that with Odyssey. In Odyssey, the ordered people at the end, the assassin, that was the last thing I ever did.
Okay. So, there we go.
Yeah. But like Kim said, you can play it how you ever really want.
No,
there are no dragons.
Only on the boats.
I watched a documentary with Jasmine this afternoon, and there was lots of Vikings in it, and they had dragons. Yeah. So I think the phrase name for a documentary was how to tame your dragon.
So I've got a bit of a rant about Valhalla.
How dragons that be in?
Right, we're putting Robin back on mute.
Okay,
well, I've been killing cats, so you know.
So let's stay a little focused here. I don't want to drag into the minutia of Assassin's Creed Valhalla. It is a very big game.
Can I mention my?
You're
rant?
Still very much liking it, Pete. Mark, you're still very much liking it, with the exception.
Well, I've got a rant. Yeah.
Yeah, you have a rant. So let's talk about that rant.
Right. So, this past week, I've been doing about 2 or 3 hours a night after work, because like Pete, I'm loving this game, and twice this past week, I have had the game lock up on me while doing a game save. So I've gone on to manual save in the menu, and I've just had loading all the time. It got to the point where it then just crashes to the dashboard. I've gone back in the game, and my last game save was the day before, and I'd lost all my progress that night.
Tic-tac-toe? Okay.
So I've lost all that progress. So, and that night, I've done a load of wealth. I've done a load of synchronization points. I've got a load of load of gear. And it really fucked me off. But I thought, it's a one-off. I'll just redo it again. So the next night, I recovered all that wealth. The following night again, I did another 3 hours. Did the game save. Did the same fucking thing. So, thanks Ubisoft, you've cost me 6 hours of lost gameplay. Pissed me off no end. Last night, I eventually recovered everything I did. What made it worse was there was a couple of boss battles which are tough as fuck because they were a lot higher level and I had to redo them. At least I had a bit of an advantage because I knew what was happening this time. But I went online. There was a lot of information on a lot of people complaining on the Ubisoft forums. I'm not alone. This is a bit of an issue. It only seems to affect the Xbox Series X. And Ubisoft has said they're looking into it. So, if you've got Assassin's Creed Valhalla on the Xbox, just be careful when you save
the game.
Save
often.
Yeah. Well,
you do realise the quick game save. Share. Greg DeLacy's been in messing with
I saw that,
back for a week now. He's been in there just corrupting them. He's been going in and doing dodgy stuff.
I was fucking fuming.
Evil, honestly, that would be true evil if I had done that.
And the thing is, you see, to get your equipment to the highest level, to the legendary, you have to get these tungsten ingots. Now, I've only just started getting to the areas where those are, whereas Pete's just blasted through all them areas. So, in the story, those are the last areas you get to. So, I've just started getting these tungsten ingots. I got about four, and I thought, great, I can go back now to the base camp and get them all leveled up. our most save got wiped. So, yeah, I was mightily pissed off two nights running.
See, I've got quite a few of those. I have those tungsten ingots. Yeah.
They're no good to you yet, have
they? Well, not yet, but it will. What I've discovered, the way I've played the game is... The wrong way you've played the game is...
Yeah, go on. I'm only joking. You can play it how you want. Sorry, I'm only joking.
Yeah, I've enjoyed going around the whole map and getting all of the treasure and stuff. Yeah, yeah. And I feel as though it's now giving me an advantage because I'm playing the story and I'm getting a lot of XP for some of the story. And now I'm in Jotunheim and I'm getting the XP for the story missions. I feel like now I'm hitting the main characters. Apart from in Jotunheim, you come across a bear. It's called Stjernbjorn, and it's
I've not met him.
Like,
you've not even met him.
No, I've got to go back though.
Okay, well, it's right by one of the waypoints. It's in a massive It's in a massive ice pit, and you can't miss him. It's like it's huge.
Right,
it's made of ice and anyway,
the ice bear.
You'll meet the bear.
Polar bear.
So his name's Stjernbjorn, and he's huge.
God bless you.
And his power mark is 400. So
I've just beaten a guy who was 280. And he was at Northumbria.
We're gonna move off Assassin's Creed Valhalla because honestly we don't care at this point. Good game.
Let's go.
We don't need to get into the minutiae of the game.
Of course you do. We're nerds.
No.
Like I said, all Mark wants to do is kill cats. So.
Oh yeah. Can I tell my cat story? Right.
No.
So I can't. No. I'm telling it. Right. So all right, I came across, like Pete was saying, there's these a lot of like icons on a map. You come across them. They're a silver dot, and when you get near them, it turns into like a relic symbol. And these are mystery world events. And there is a woman at a shrine crying, and I goes up to her and asks her what's wrong. She says, "Oh, my poor cat, it died 5 years ago, and I want to make a shrine to it, but I need the leftovers of it," sort of thing. "But in my house, can you go get them?" So there's a bit of a puzzle to get into the house. You have to move some shit. And I goes into the house, and it's full of fucking cats. And it's that pissing me off because I can't find the items. So, yeah, I find the items, go out to her, give her... She builds a shrine, and as I'm going, I'm thinking in my head, yeah, you're going to have to build 5 more fucking shrines there, bitch. So, yeah, poor cats are all dead. Sorry. Don't like cats. Yeah, house full of dead cats.
You don't like cats?
No, house full of dead cats. Go for
you didn't research. You didn't research your chair there. You're sitting on very well, did you then?
Why is it made of cat skin?
Anybody else go to jr-knight.com.
Oh my god.
Yeah, about the pussies.
All right.
I am afraid to make this next comment.
Oh god.
I know. Because we talked about Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Yeah.
We might as well finish up what Mark has been playing.
Oh, right, okay.
To his next game.
Yeah, it'll be a quick one, this. It'll only be about an hour on this. Right.
Ultas!
where's my video? Where's my video? Oh, fuck, I can't find it. Oh, there we go. Right, so, if I remember right, the last time I spoke about this, I was... Elite Dangerous, by the way, on the PC.
Yep.
I was looking for the Guardian artifacts to get the FSD booster. So,
yes.
I got it.
Your booster.
I did it. I've got my booster. Yeah. Biscuit boost.
I mean, what?
Yeah, so I went to this planet out in the middle of nowhere. I landed on my little SUV buggy thing. I got all the artifacts. I did all the rigmarole you have to do to activate it. I got the orb to fly up, and I scanned it, and I got my data, my blueprint. I got all the other materials I needed from the site to trade into the trading broker. Flew another fucking 50 fucking jumps to where this broker is, traded it all in, and I've got my FSD booster, so I've got...
See, this 30, is the problem with this game.
42 light-year jump range on my Crate Phantom now.
Yeah, but this is the problem with the game, Mark.
There's no problem
you
with the game.
You just describe... No, you describing that...
There's no problem.
Tired me.
Shut your whole mouth. There's no problem.
It's like I'm tired of listening to you get this.
You lost me at Vikings.
Well, I'm glad to hear you got your booster. Everybody needs a booster, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, a boost.
It's one of those games. It's another grind game.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. But you do like those types of games. You like to put in the time, grind through it. So
the time I haven't got my pile of shame's growing longer and longer. But yeah, I do tend to throw myself into a game and then all of a sudden I'll just move on to another one. But at the moment it's Elite and Valhalla, and then I think the next one I'll throw myself into is one you're going to talk about, and that's Hitman 3. That's a nice segue for you there, Greg.
Well, it is a good segue. I will take that. Before I take that though, real quickly, Assassin's Creed Valhalla did have an update. And it, so it improved a bunch of performance on the
Series
X. Didn't improve
the fucking game save, did it, Ubisoft?
Did not improve the game save, apparently. That stability patch was false news. But it did add Rumble on the bow pole, and apparently on the PS5
Not on performance mode, it don't.
Well, that's the weird thing. So I fired up the game, and I had it on quality mode, and I noticed the Rumble on the bow pole. And then you were talking about how much better it plays in performance mode, and the visual trade-off wasn't that bad.
No, I don't think it is.
So I switched out to performance mode, and I instantly noticed they don't have the rumble for the bow pull. For whatever reason, that apparently was enough of a performance hit that it would impact it, so they pulled it out. I thought that was funny. I thought it was odd.
Well, I never noticed that because I've mainly played all in performance mode. When I first started the game up, I tried both, and the performance mode is 60 frames a second and it is super smooth and gorgeous, and I just stuck with it. So I've never noticed it, so I've never missed it. Did you like performance mode? Which do you prefer? You're a bit of a graphics whore, aren't you?
Yeah, I am a bit of a graphics whore. I like the smoke effects, I think, are better in quality mode than they are in performance mode. One of those things, but you know what? It plays really smooth in performance mode. So combat is a little easier, I think, because it is smoother. Yeah. So I've pretty much kept it in performance mode at this point.
Yeah.
Let's get ready to rumble!
We are, though. We're going to talk about Hitman 3. So started playing the Hitman 3 game, but ironically, I haven't actually played Hitman 3. I've been playing Hitman 2 available and part of Hitman 3.
And they did that with 2, didn't they, with the 1 missions?
They did. But it plays noticeably better on the Series X. It's really smooth. I just want to give these guys some props, and we'll leave it at this because I really am not playing Hitman 3, so I can't really talk about the new game. But I feel like the environments of Hitman, they do such a great job in creating this immersive environment. You know, I know we talk about these open world games and Valhalla, and it feels so immersive because, you know, they create these big open worlds and you ride to different towns. And, you know, you have different people doing different things within the towns. Same thing with The Witcher, you know, any other open world game. But I feel like Hitman, these environments, because it's not open world, but they're open environments. They're so well done. I feel like they are more immersive in many ways than the majority of open world games I've ever played. You catch all different kinds of conversations happening. There's different subtle clues on ways in which you can set up a contract hit. And you know, yes, there are routines just like in every other game. You have the routines of the guards, that kind of thing. But, I was just really just drawn in, played for an hour and a half on a mission the other night, and it was just all about setting up a couple contract kills, and the way in which I went about it was just it was uncovering which method I wanted to use, and eventually I wound up poisoning an old man, which was fun. He doesn't like poisoning an old man. And then the other one, guy had a big security detail in his house, and I just methodically took out all the security detail. And then finally it was just, you know, went up behind him and double tapped to the head, and that was mission over. I was like done, completed. And I just walked out into the sunset.
Did you get to kill any cats?
I did not kill any cats. But there were cats. I could have killed a cat. There were also frogs. I could have killed a frog. Go figure.
What I love about these Hitman games is, like, we've mentioned already, and like Kim's mentioned with the last game, there are so many ways to complete these missions, and the beauty of these is it rewards you for each type. You can replay these missions five or six times and do a different way, and it'll reward you with XP and bonuses for doing it in that way. When you look in the menu, there's loads of different options of that. It's a great game.
Yeah, and what also is nice is that so they give you the option of just playing the mission open world, where you pick how you want to do it. You kind of go into the environment not really knowing anything. But they also have guided missions that basically can take you through all the different types of assassination methods you could use. And so it's a much more guided experience. So I really like that. And I think for new players, that actually might be a really beneficial way of playing it, because it can be a little bit overwhelming at times when you're like, how should I try and kill this guy?
Carefully
is the key. Absolutely. I love that they just kind of ignore the one big thing to this game, which is you can disguise yourself as anybody. If you kill somebody or you knock somebody out, you can take their clothing and kind of disguise yourself. But honestly, you never don't look like Agent 47. Yeah. You always look like Agent 47. Yeah. And yet, you know, the gag, if you will, is that you according to everybody else, you don't look like yourself. But I just find that always kind of funny. It's like, you know, you just put on a different outfit. Suddenly they don't recognize you.
Yeah.
It's like, nope. Don't say bald head.
The big bald head and the fucking barcode on the back. Don't give it away.
Yep. Yeah. But Hitman is just, it's been a good game to just get back into and immerse myself with. And I've been quite pleased with that. So, that said, I'm going to shift gears. We're going to go talk to Robin now. He's been waiting.
Yeah. So. Quietly sitting here.
Yes.
VR time, people.
Okay, so VR. I'm Mr. VR at the moment, and since Christmas, it suits me because it's switch it on, it's there, it's done, blah, 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 blah. And I kind of was a bit flat waiting for a Series X, I suppose. Yeah? I suppose that's... tell me about your childhood. Why are you not gaming? Because I didn't have a Series X. That's probably the reason why. Every morning now I get up and I do my Fit XR. Fit XR is a fantastic workout game. It has two real parts to it. It's boxing, so punching, boxing, and crouching, up and down, punch, 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 side by side. And there's a dancing. I'm a man. I haven't done any of the dancing ones at all. In fact, I haven't even went through the tutorial for the dance. I switched it on and I went, okay, boys, let's get going. And that was enough for me. So I'm sticking to the boxing, okay?
I'm actually disappointed by this, Robin. I really wanted to see videos of you dancing.
No. So it's brilliant. It is really a really good workout, and it's a good, fun game. You have different scenarios in a gym, and you've got, you know, the outside, great high-intensity music. What I actually ordered today, and this is straddling the gaming fitness thing, I ordered some weights for my arms to give it even a bit more punch. But I feel great for it, and it's really doing good because I feel muscles and things that I didn't have before. So, yeah, look, it's good fun, and it's a workout, and it's healthy, that's a fantastic thing. And my wife wants to VR. Everybody in the house is VRing at the moment. I've still crack on a bit at Beat Saber, which is brilliant fun, and I was working out with it. But this Fit XR is pretty fab.
It's more of a workout.
Superhot is a fantastic game. Anyway, but Superhot VR is a whole different kettle of cats. It really is.
Dead cats.
It looks as good. Superhot was basic, but it was, you know, sharp. And one of the problems with VR over the years has been it hasn't really looked that sharp. Well, this is just as sharp. So there's no difference. You might as well be playing Superhot on a flat screen. It looks that good. So in Superhot, you play sections over and over again until you find the way through. You pick up a gun here, you throw a thing there, you do that, all with buttons. This time, you're really picking up the shotgun. You're really picking up the Uzi. You're picking up the Star. You're really ducking. You're really moving around. And it is friggin' exhausting. It is hard work. It is another workout, but it's like, wow, you feel so badass when you get that, you know, rare gun, shoot him with the Uzi, then down with the gun, him with the shotgun, duck down there, throw the bottle over there. Just awesome. So super hot on steroids, on Vicodin, Mark's favorite Viking. That's really, really good. Pistol Whip, again, a play you've mentioned before, a great shooting game. So you're standing through a street or alleyways, lots and lots of different ways to shoot.
It's a bit like Super Hot without the time stopping, isn't it, really?
Yeah. But it's more shoot, up here, up there.
It's more frantic, It's a shooting gallery.
And you get a warning that the bullets are coming your way, you know, a little split second, and you can duck them as well. Excellent, really, really good shooter. And then a whole completely different speed, which is a beautiful game called A Fisherman's Tale. Hard to describe. I'll do my best. So you start off, it's a story, it's beautifully drawn. You're a lighthouse keeper.
Okay.
And you start the story by waking up sort of in the morning and looking in the mirror, and there's a guy narrating it, and you're a carved wooden statuette of a lighthouse keeper. So you have to get up in the morning, and the first thing you do is you brush your teeth. You brush your teeth in the wooden sink, and then the next thing, he tells the story what you do every day. You dust, so you pick up a duster and you dust for a second, and then you work on your model.
What a wrist action, so, Robin.
Yeah, there is. So in the middle, I'm a salesman. So in the middle of the table, there is a model of the lighthouse and your house, and you take the roof off. And inside it is the little sink where you brush the teeth and your little table in the middle with a model of the lighthouse and your house. So at this point, then, they'd say there's a storm coming and you have to...
Has it got 30 mile an hour winds?
Anyway, you open the window after the storm, and when you look out the window, you're looking at the back of a giant wooden U.
So it's like you.
Yeah, it's a big version of you. It's like a mirror looking into a mirror. Yeah.
He's doing it now.
Yeah. So really, really, really unique and lovely. I don't think it's that long. I think it's an hour or 2 hours long, something like that there. But it is beautifully, beautifully written, beautifully told, a lovely, unique experience. One of the nicest things that I've seen on that. So, okay. Yeah. Oculus Quest, I still continue. There's January. It's been used every day by pretty much every member of the house, apart from the cat.
Which is dead because you run it over.
Well, that's what...
Oh, Mark!
Sorry. Kim. I'll do it just to wank you up because I know she loves cats. Sorry, Kim.
So, yeah, I love it. Love it, love it, love it. It's an Oculus Quest. Very, very good for fitness, for experiences, for looking around the world, and for gaming.
Right. And this is the Quest 2.
Quest 2.
Important to...
Will it work on the Quest 1? Will Pete better play this?
Yeah, I think a lot of the stuff can. Yeah. I think some features that Pete doesn't have. I did get a nice case for mine. I didn't get the... It's been recommended to get the extension...
Yeah, the extended battery and that, yeah.
Yeah, but do you know what? At the moment, the case that I have is fine. I did get the covers, so the head around the head piece that touches your face is foam, and it unclips. And after a workout, you're perspired. Yeah,
right.
You're wringing it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. After this 30 minutes of this high intensity boxing thing, I'm sweating like a pig. Right, love. So I've been taking it out and washing it. And then some of the kids get on, and Some of them are sweaty buggers.
Yeah, they don't wash it.
So I've got the covers, the cover, the foam completely, and you can wipe it down with a sanitizer.
Condom for your face.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, yeah, good thing. Good stuff.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Real quickly to finish out, just one thing, Gears Tactics, finished up the game. I will say this. I really like the story of Gears Tactics. I felt from a game perspective, they do add some filler into this game. It drags out a little bit too long towards the end with the types of missions they throw into it. So I would like to see a sequel not have that and maybe have some added elements like an XCOM, base building, something else you can focus in on other than just kind of your squad, because I felt like at the end of this game, it didn't really matter that I had recruited other people into my squad. It was kind of about six individuals that I kind of went to more often than not. So, yeah, it's good. Won't be a game of the year contender for me in any kind of fondly thinking back, but it's a solid strategy game. I played the medium. Ooh. So I fired up the medium.
I've heard a lot of people's sort of like
it's all over the place on this game.
It's in the middle. It's in the middle of thing.
It's in the middle, and I get why. I totally get why. On one hand, it's very retro. It's not tank controls, by the way. A lot of people said it's tank controls, but it's not. You have analog control of your character, but it is in a fixed camera, fixed environment setting to where, you know, you have to kind of like the old Resident Evil games where you're walking down the hallway, and because of the camera angle, you might not quite understand the depth of how far you are before you have to turn, that kind of thing. So that's not great. It's very old school design. The story itself, actually, I'm pretty interested in. I will continue to play this game. The puzzles so far have been pretty easy. They're not going to really test you. It looks very nice. Graphically speaking, it's a very pretty game to look at. And it has that kind of weird Silent Hill horror vibe to it. But kind of like Control, it flirts a lot with horror, but it never really goes there. I had one jump scare that, you know, it'll catch you just because of how they do it. But the game's not about the jump scares. It's more about kind of the creepy vibe. And, you know, she's a medium. And she understands this from the get-go of the game. So you kind of always know your place. You can talk to spirits of people that have passed, you know, have died and passed on, or are trying to make the transition from the living to beyond. And so you're kind of the loose goal of your character is that you do help these individuals make that transition. Or I should say ghosts or apparitions, whatever you want to call it. So I've been enjoying it. I you know, it's not great. And yeah, there's some things that bug you about the controls, and it's like, okay, well, I think they could have done things differently to make this more appealing for people. But at the end of the day, it's been an interesting story to kind of follow through. It is a bit walking simulator like. You can run. So you do have that ability. So it makes things a little bit easier when you're trying to kind of traverse around stuff. But
what does the right stick do on the controller? Because I know some of these ones where the fixed cameras, the right stick, it like you roll and stuff. And that used to annoy me because you're so used to using that for the camera.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't think the right stick does anything. Right,
yeah. Just ever fancy.
It might do detective vision. So you do have the ability to kind of have that detective vision to illuminate things that, you know, you want to try and catch your eye with. But yeah, so far so good. Again, this is not going to be game of the year by any stretch. It's going to fall into it's an average game in my opinion. But I'm liking the story enough so far that I want to continue further with it. I could get past some of the niggles of the controls, but it is very much going to feel like an old school game versus a lot of more modern game design we've seen. Don't expect The Last of Us 2.
Yeah, it's a bit like a bit of a moving Point and clicking it, by watching this.
That's actually a pretty good description. It is a bit of a moving point and click adventure. The story bits, the voice acting so far is decent. It's not great, but it's not bad. And the story is pretty interesting. It's got a little bit of a hook into me. So I will see this through. I did not get on with the Blair Witch game at all. I hated that game. So for me, this is feeling different enough. And the story to me is interesting enough that it's got me.
Oh, is it from the same developer?
More. Yes.
All right, yeah. And I remember Pete saying he wasn't too enamored with the Blair Witch.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's it. That's me. Done.
Mm. Cool.
So, Mark, do we have a quiz?
We do.
Holy crap!
Jingle. Yeah, ready. we're running long, so we want to power through this.
Right. All right, now everybody get settled. Get away from the windows. Now look, that's some good. It's time for the quiz. Right. Yeah, you know what? Oh, too bad. Tough.
Right, so there's only 5 questions. Multiple choice. Random trivia, what I found off the older interwebs. So are you guys ready?
Yep. I think so. Has Pete come back yet? I know he went to take a big poo.
Yeah, he's... I think he's back.
Yeah, it was massive.
Yeah.
It was massive.
Was it a world record? You have to get the old tape measure out.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right.
It broke the toilet.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, it's like Matt Nation's brownies.
It's the best time to weigh yourself is after one of those.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go for
right.
it. Come on.
Question one. Let's get some background music on. Who is the last boss in Street Fighter 3? Fighter 3, the last boss who you face. Is it M. Bison? Is it B, 12? Is it C, Jill? Or is it D, Akuma? A, M. Bison, B, 12, C, Jill, or D, Akuma? And Pete should get this because he's a Street Fighter fanboy.
I'm really kicking myself. What do we need to do? What's up?
Just shout out what you think it is.
First one.
M. Bison.
I'm going to say 12.
Right. So Robin says M. Bison. Greg says 12.
I'm going to say D.
Kimster says Akuma. Pete, what are you going for?
I'm going to say Akuma.
Right. And you are all...
I award you no points. And may God have mercy on you.
All wrong. It was.
Is it M. Bison?
Nope, Jill.
No, it's Jill.
Jill, oh. She's like half blue, half red thing. I don't know. I've never heard of it.
Oh, shit, robot. The
Alex. Jesus Christ.
I'm so close to getting that.
Yeah, me too.
Right, question two. And play along in the chat if you want, guys, and those at home, play along. What is the cult in Far Cry 5 called? Is it A, Project at Eden's Gate? Is it B, Unitology? Is it C, Los Illuminados? Or is it D, The Order? A, Project at Eden's Gate. B, Unitology. C, Los Illuminados. And D, The Order. If you've played this game, you should get this.
Yeah. A.
I'm going to go with A.
Greg says A. Kim says A.
I'm going to say A because two other people have.
Yeah, Pete says A. That's cheating. Robin, looks like he's just taking some mackie pills. Yeah, and you would all be absolutely...
Correct the mundo.
It was Project at Eden's Gate.
Knew it.
Yeah.
I was going to say B, but somebody said A.
Yeah, Greg said it was such conviction you all followed suit. Right, back to fighting games. In Mortal Kombat, who is Sindel's daughter? Who is Sindel's daughter? Is it...
No, Jill.
No, it's a different franchise, Robin. Is it A, Sonya Blade? Is it B, Katana? Is it C, Melina? Or is it D, Jade? Sonya Blade, Katana, Melina, or Jade?
Sonya!
I'm going to go for Jade. D.
I'm going to go with Katana.
Right. Yeah, so Robin, Sonya, Pete's Jade, B's, Greg's Katana. What about you, Kim?
I'll go with Melina.
Go with Melina. Everyone's chosen a different answer. And the winner is Greg. It was Katana. Well done, Greg.
All right. Take that.
Yeah. One of the great... a great game made for the exclusive PlayStation 4. What company developed the 2015 third-person action adventure game The Order 1886, what I liked and everyone fucking criticised me for? Who made The Order 1886? Was it A, Sucker Punch? Was it B, Ready at Dawn? Was it C, Bend Studios? Or was it D, Sony's Santa Monica Studio? Sucker Punch, Ready at Dawn, Bend, or Santa Monica Studio? Who made The Order 1886?
I will not answer until everybody else has answered. Yeah.
And Kim, you've got this on your list to play as well, haven't you?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I can't remember. Uh-huh. I'm
going
with A.
So Kim's going Sucker Punch. Ginger Balls?
Oh, I'm going to go for the same A.
Yeah, gone Sucker Punch. Robin?
Problem, connection problem.
Robin's forfeit.
I don't know. I don't know. Bend?
Bend.
I don't know.
Bend Studios.
Oh, Bend.
Go on, so, Greg. Put us out of his misery.
It is Ready at Dawn.
It is Ready at Dawn. Well done, Greg.
Oh, all
right. Yeah, Greg knows his developers. Right.
He does.
But how much does he know of the Final Fantasy universe? That is the question.
Ooh.
How many members are in the Deep Eyes Squadron in the Final Fantasy?
What?
How many members are in the Deep Eyes Squadron? Is it 1, 2, 3, or 4? The Deep Eye Squadron. 1, 2, 3, or 4?
Oh, dear God.
1!
Yeah, I'm going with 1. Total right. Speculation.
1
yeah.
And 1. Yep.
It's the irony answer. Squad of 1.
Kim's going 4. Go D4, yeah.
I'm going to go for 4 as well.
Right.
Your squadron. Yeah.
If I didn't know the answer, I'd have gone for 2 because you got 2 eyes, but I'd have been wrong because Kim and Pete are right. It is 4. Well done.
Oh, just to have a card, Greg. That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, totally. You're just too hipster. Right. Yep. And that is this week's trivia quiz.
Very good.
So, I think you track well a score, done. So there you go.
That was difficult.
I won.
Hey, I said it'd be a bit tougher this week.
I'm going to save the Twitter question until we get through the upcoming games. But let's get into the news.
Here is the fucking news.
All right. So first off, news, Mark, your levels are still low.
What?
Just to let you know. I'm just letting you know. But that being said, this week was a crazy week. So topping the list of news really was what happened with GameStop. And this is not so much gaming related for the overall scope of what happened, but the GameStop stock is certainly gaming related. So I thought, let's talk about it. A group of Reddit users basically
started it.
Yeah, they started it. They figured out, in a sense, kind of how to game the stock market with regards to short selling. Hedge funds typically like to short sell. It almost becomes kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. That was really difficult for me to say. In essence, a hedge fund sees a company. They know they're in trouble. They pretty much put out there that the company is in trouble. Then they borrow money from other investors, promising within 2 months they will pay back the stock at whatever the price is. In the meantime, they go out and buy tons of the stock.
Tons of the stock.
I'm hearing it echo.
Yeah, I am as well. Getting that buzz again as well.
Could that be Robin's wire?
There he goes again.
But so needless to say, these Reddit users banded together as like a voting block of day traders, and they went out and started buying up a ton of GameStop stock, forcing the stock prices up. And what was happening with the hedge fund users or buyers, because they had bought stock at such low rates,
they had to cover.
They had to cover, and Robin, you're probably the best one to talk about this, but I mean, they had to cover
those promises to pay back the money they borrowed at the stock prices of whatever they were. The GameStop price now, to put this in perspective, today it's at $325.
$311 after hours.
Sorry, $311 after our trading. But just April 3rd, 2020, it was at $2.80. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, $1,000 off GameStop stock on the 2nd of January this year would have now be worth $52,000.
Yeah.
So in the space of 4 weeks. So, yeah, so show me. Yeah, so the hedge fund guys, there's lots of companies they do this with. So they, you're right. So shorting is a horrible thing. So if you don't know about what happens to the stock market a lot, you think it's all buying and people make money from buying and selling it. You know, so they buy it cheap, they sell it high, they make profit. Shorting is you bet on the price going down and that's what they make the money. It's shorters are seen as kind of horrible vampire people. Yeah, hate them. It has been very, very interesting. I don't think the GameStop guys had really nothing to do with this themselves. Right. I think the shareholders or chairman and people like that, the board of directors that have shares, all of a sudden have a pension fund that they never, ever dreamt of before. I think GameStop is still screwed unless they completely reinvent themselves as a content maker or something like that. You know, shops in 10 years are going to be very, very few and far between. They're going to be like video game arcades with arcade machines.
Yeah.
But it's been very interesting. I took part. I did. I mean, I've done very well out of GameStop, AMC Cinemas. There's been a few others this week.
Matt Nation put in the group chat that he got a message saying that he's been got restrictions on AMC and GameStop.
So
how can we fix it?
This is also part of the legality of it.
So Joe Bloggs, we talked about Trading 212, Mark, which is a phone app in the UK. You can buy shares in America. And you guys in America have Robinhood.
Right,
and Robinhood. And Webull and a few other phone apps which aren't available in the UK. And even Trading 212, Mark, it limited you. You couldn't buy new orders of GameStop.
Right.
You could only sell your shares,
right,
which is freaking crazy because all that does is you sell it, the price goes down.
Yeah,
It's right. Not that these governments, hedge funds, companies had that power to make that decision.
I would say, did it stand legally stopping you buying shares in a public trading company?
That's the big question.
They have lots of money. There's lots of court cases. Right. Robin Hood already has a court case in at the moment. A big company called Citadel, which is a big, big hedge fund company that owns some of this stuff. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Not a lot. I'm watching stuff on YouTube today about these guys going, oh, yeah, it's a new movement and reoccupy Wall Street. It's a load of shit. It's about money. It's about money. You know, money talks.
I think the example of 212 and Robinhood, basically all of these apps shut down buying of the stock. And let's be honest, that was at the influence of these hedge funds basically telling them, hey, you know, we are one of your kind of more prominent backers. Like, we know hedge funds actually back Robinhood also in terms of they are part of the board.
You also have to remember one of the things that they done was they stopped a thing called leverage. So with my broker right now, if I have a float of $10,000, I can trade up to $50,000 of funds if I wanted to. I don't, but that's called leverage. Right. So I could borrow even more. I could buy even more game shares on leverage. So what was happening with Robinhood and those people as well is they had a liquidity problem because they provide those extra funds that they loan retail buyers like me and Mark and Greg and Kim and Pete, because I don't see it. So inside I've got 10, I put 10,000 down as security and they'll give me another 40 or more. So they had a liquidity problem. So they had to shut it down too because people were buying so much on leverage.
Yeah.
So they shut the leverage down as well. Buying it without the actual
backing of their own cash.
But I'll give you an example. I mean, I bought 50 shares of Game and I had them for 3 hours. And I made just shy of $10,000.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
I bought 50 shares. That was my full position. I now have a play with a $10,000 float. So that was, I bought them at 198 and sold them at 340.
Wow.
$10,000? $10,000?
I bought them for $9,750 and sold them for just under $17,000 in about 3 hours.
Now, in fairness, Robin, you bought them.
Scary.
Yeah, but you bought those shares way back when, correct?
No.
No, it's
only
3 hours.
No, but you bought them at a very low point on the stock price.
Oh yeah, 198.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the lowest.
No, that was this week. That was just at the beginning of the week. So it was Tuesday afternoon, I think, or Wednesday morning, and by Wednesday afternoon, and they were gone.
Yeah. From that screenshot, if you'd have brought them at the first point, you'd have probably made double that.
That's what I say. $1,000, you could have bought them at about $16 a share in 2nd of January. That your $1,000 investment would be $52,000.
So, I need to take a plunge in this trading.
Okay, so I know this is exciting and all, and all of you have access to these things. I would warn you with caution. Mm. My experience, I have now been doing this for a year and a half, this sort of thing. And it's becoming more and more of a thing for me. And it would be easy to go, you know, I'm going to buy 4 of these shares tomorrow morning when the stock market opens on. And that price fluctuates from minute on. When the stock market opened on Friday morning, it opened at $199 again. And it went to just over 500 in the first 2 or 3 minutes. And 2 or 3 minutes later, it was at 220.
Yeah,
and
there's volatility.
Unbelievable volatility. I don't trust this stuff in the slightest. So please just don't just be very, very careful here. Yeah. So, you know, shares generally are a safe bet. Okay. Normal shares. If you buy Apple or Amazon or whatever, or Ford Motor Company, over the next 5-10 years, they will go up in price. Yeah. But stuff like this here, this Game haven't announced anything. There's no news. It's a dying company long term. This is just pure speculation. So I know it's nice, and some people have done very, very well. I'm chicken feet compared to some of the guys that I know that made hundreds of thousands out of this. Don't get sucked up in that. So it'd be like throwing your money away at the moment.
Yep. All right. Yeah. We'll push to the next story. Sony pushes the PS5 exclusive Returnal. They push it out from March 19th to April 30th. Basically, House Marquee, the developer, said they wanted more time to polish the game to a level of quality players expect.
All right.
So not a big delay, just about a month and a half.
Housemark, for a good studio then. Resogun was awesome on the PS4. Absolutely brilliant. It was a launch title. And even to this day, I still play Resogun. It's brilliant.
Right. And Returnal, if I'm not mistaken, this is that third-person shooter, or maybe first-person shooter, kind of sci-fi game. I forgot the who plays the main character.
Right.
I want to say Sigourney Weaver, but that's not right. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, it does look good. Well, good cinematics.
Oh, yeah, so
anyway.
This is one that's on the radar, if you will, for this first half of the year. And then finally kind of getting back into the talking about corporate stocks and things of financial nature, Microsoft posted their earnings, and they are up 33% thanks to the cloud, PC, and Xbox. Apparently, they posted some significant earnings. And they saw a 40% increase from the Xbox content and services, as well as an 86% increase on hardware sales. Now, obviously, that's pretty much all primarily due to the release of the Series X and the S and pushing the hardware. So
But that's it for the news. Not a lot going on in the news front. Why don't we talk about games that are coming up, and then we can talk about the Twitter question, Kim.
Okie dokie. Your new releases from January 31st to February 6th are Control, which we talked about earlier for the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X and S on February 2nd. Destruction All-Stars for the PlayStation 5 on February 2nd. Blue Fire for the Switch and PC on February 4th. Werewolf, The Apocalypse, Earthblood for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC on February 4th as well. Then we have Kinetic Edge for the PC on February 5th. Then we have Neo 2, The Complete Edition for the PlayStation 4 on February 5th. Neo 2 Remastered, The Complete Edition for the PlayStation 5 on February 5th. Neo Remastered, The Complete Edition, PlayStation 5, February 5th. And the Neo Collection for the PlayStation on February 5th as well. There's a whole lot of news going on there.
Forward to a Neo game coming out this month. Darn, I wish there was one.
But Sony, again, cashing in on the remasters for the next-gen upgrade, whereas Xbox Smart Delivery just automatically upgrades, don't charge you twice. That annoys me, does that.
Anyway, those are your new releases for the month. Well, for the week, I guess. Not the
was it your stomach, Mark? Was it?
No, it was a motorbike at Kim's, I think.
Not at Kim's house. That's outside my window.
All right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I should say, that was at my house.
Kim's house for once.
Anyone seen any gameplay of that werewolf game?
A little bit of it. It looks good. It's kind of an environmentally sort of werewolf thing.
Right.
Like these werewolves are for the environment sort of deal. I can't remember exactly if there's an oil company or whatever they're against, but yeah. I don't know. It looks decent.
I'm curious about Werewolf. It's one that I heard some previews of some people saying it was a bit rough, so I now have kind of that cautious optimism for this game. Yeah, rough. Woof. But we threw out a question. I threw it out late, mind you, about 20 minutes before we started the show, but just kind of talking about looking at the first half of this year, what games we're truly looking forward to or excited for. And I started going through the list of upcoming games, and I got to be honest, I was kind of like, first half of this year, kind of crap. Not a whole heck of a lot to be excited about. I think for me, I think the real one game I'm excited to see and I'm hopeful for is Outriders. That's the Square Enix third-person shooter game that supposedly has, you know, kind of looter RPG elements to it. So I'm cautiously optimistic for that. Werewolf I was probably more optimistic for up until I started seeing some of the preview stuff for it, so I'm kind of gotten cold on that. Biomutant is probably the only other one I was genuinely excited for back E3 of this past summer time frame, but because we haven't seen anything from this game, I don't know what to expect, so I'm not terribly excited for it at this point. The only other game that I could really think about that looks like it could be really good is Returnal. But again, I don't know what to expect. There's nothing to me that, I guess maybe the other game I'm excited for, actually I should say, is MLB The Show, because it's coming out on Xbox. It's going to be Sony's first published game on another console ever. So that's kind of exciting to see that whole exclusive deal has finally wrapped up, and now because MLB basically kind of said, hey, you guys have to make it on other systems, so I'm excited to see that come out on other systems, but I'm not the biggest baseball guy in the world, so I'm not going to be like, oh my god, this is the game of the year. So I don't know, what other games, any other games for you guys that you're like, oh, I'm really excited for this first half?
Honestly nothing. I don't even know what's coming out. If God of War comes out this year, that might get me to buy a PS5. That's the only one I'd be excited about.
Yeah. Well, and I'm talking
Robin, the new Horizon Zero Dawn.
Not even the full year, because obviously there are big games coming. We know in holiday time frame.
Yeah.
But for the first half of this year, it feels really just like
nothing's going on. But it's the Chinese virus. It has really stopped everything happening. This is the crunch now.
Right.
So you know things.
Oh, the new Far Cry looks good as well. Sorry.
Yeah, the all development guys working from home. Yeah, that's fine and dandy, but everything is slowed. You know, every aspect of it, we're all starting to feel it. I mean, goodness, from groceries in Northern Ireland, we can't get them because of Brexit and COVID and all the other bits and pieces. Everything is slowed down. So this is the same thing here. This is another 2021 is not going to be much better than 2020. Yeah. It really isn't.
For sure, the first half. I should point out James B. 1983 from Joystick Podcast. He did put out Far Cry 6 and Mass Effect Legacy box set.
Mass Effect, wow. Which they said they would never do.
Right.
So they said they would never, we're never going to do revamps, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? Maybe that's all they can do at the moment. But I would.
And apparently they're working on a new Mass Effect. So yes. Go figure after... You know, Andromeda and how they kind of poo-pooed all over that and said, well, you know, we're not going back to that again. So
that's a good game, too. I like Andromeda.
I liked Andromeda. I mean, when I got to play, but I didn't actually finish it. But, I mean, I liked it. I don't like Mass Effect, so.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you, Nick. You, Nicole. Yep.
Yeah, don't like it. We've gone down this road before. We won't go down.
Pete also doesn't like it, so.
What? Pete, the bus was coming. Kim just pushed you out in front of it.
But no, there really isn't a lot to look forward to. I don't know. I'm more looking forward to polishing off more games off my pile of shame.
Awesome. Yeah, maybe this is a good thing.
Yeah. Do you know what? There's plenty of good games to play.
There are. Yep. That, exactly. For sure.
When we watched a film with the kids last night, and maybe it was too far for a 10 year 11 year old. We watched Central Intelligence with The Rock and the language in it's a bit rife and some of the jokes on it are a bit rife, but before anyway they're good fun watching it. And they love the dick jokes that, you know, that's 12 year olds, they loved it anyway. But Corey had said beforehand at the dinner table, can we watch a movie tonight? I went, yeah, no problem. He says, can we watch something new? I said, Corey, mate, there just isn't anything new.
Not a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it, the number of new movies that have come out is pretty minimal. Gaming, I think, has a little bit of an upper hand on the movie studios in that regard. But it is surprising just to see kind of the dearth of big hitters for the first half of this year. I don't think normally we see at least a few real high-profile titles, and I feel like we maybe have one in Far Cry 6. That's really the only high-profile title.
And you kind of think some of the publishers would be going, God damn it, let's get this stuff out. Right. Everybody's home. They'll suck this up. They'll buy games. They really will, you know. But they just obviously just can't.
Just, yeah.
Well, on that depressing note, I suppose we should wrap this show up. It's been a long one.
I'll do Victory Achieved quickly.
Yeah,
there are several entries for Victory Achieved this week. You know what it is by now. If you don't know what it is, listen this next week and we'll describe it. The people that completed games this week, Kim finished Donut Country. She filled her hole. Greg... Gears Tactics, Infected Psych, he finished Grim Fandango Remastered, and Colin on Cars finished Astro's Playroom. And that's very good. You're entered into the draw. Good stuff. And now we play the sound of one of Bernie's poor little seat squeaking. Bernie,
Victory's achieved.
I love Bernie Sanders' memes on that chair.
With his little mittens.
Yes, there have been some really good ones.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway. Look, we're at that point. We appreciate everybody for listening. Kim, why don't we do a quick re-shout out for those that stuck it out and listened to the show all the way through, or even just joined in late.
Yeah. Let me pull up my list here. We had Boomer, of course. We had Lord was in there. Martin was in there. So thanks, fellas, for hopping in the chat box. Of course, we've had our others that didn't jump in the chat box, but they're nonetheless. We have Abbott and Costello, another TTV viewer, Aiton, Bing Cortana, Casino Thanks, Commander Root, Droop Dog, Electrical Longboard, Extra More.
Droop Dog.
Yeah, right. I'm not making these things up. Let's see. Yeah, right. Kosigan. There's a few in here I can't pronounce, so I'm sorry. Saddest Kitty, probably somebody that Mark killed. Silly Gnome 225. So, yeah, thanks for hopping in the chat box or just watching us, whatever. So
a little drive-by listening, and it's always a good thing.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so the good news is you can come back next week. We will be here in some fashion or another. Whether it be 5, whether it be 2, whether it be 4, whether it be 3. It's never 1. That much I know. I don't think we've ever had just one person on the podcast.
Yeah, I did one once, one Christmas. I think it was 2017.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
you did.
Right.
Yeah. Trooper.
It was just recorded. There we go. It wasn't live, yeah.
That's
my only claim to fame of this podcast. I did a solo.
You do the quizzes. That's also a claim to fame. So don't sell yourself short there, Mark. Thank you. Anyway, thank you for everybody for listening. Let's do some shout outs. Start it off, Pete.
I'm going to shout out my chess friend, Mark Annix. I don't know who he is yet.
Sounds like a right one.
Hopefully we can bond and swap bishops and stuff.
I'll set your friends a question. Did you say I'm going to fucking play a game with you?
Oh.
No, we'll do it. I'll give it a go. You'll beat me, but...
I've got nobody else to shout out, really. So I'm going to pass you on to Kim.
Oh dear, swapping bishops, that's gonna be a new one. Anyway, shout out to you guys, it's fun as always. Shout out to Mother Nature. I'd really like for winter to be over, so the sooner the better would be great. Other than that, everybody have a good week. Hopefully we don't all freeze to death, or unless we're like fucking tanked up and we're having like 64 degree weather, then send some of that our way, will ya? Other than that, like I said, everybody have a good week, and on to Robin.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. We enjoy doing this because it's a good laugh every week, and hopefully that you have the odd laugh with us as well. Just to mention again, two things my wife is involved with. After talking about it for years now, all of a sudden she's involved in two. So there's @_love_share_and_foster and A Longer Table, which are both fostering Instagram, Facebook pages. So A Longer Table is her and her friend, and Love, Share, and Foster is her three sisters. So our two sisters, including her. I've been working on a set of videos for about my stock market trading. They're the short 5-minute videos about how to get started. It was like an FAQ. I wish I had had them when I started, explaining hopefully simply enough the stuff that you need to think about, the software that you need, and what all this stuff means. So I've been sharing.
How can people get them, Robin? Is that on your Bongos Bits?
They're not published yet.
All right, okay.
Yeah, they're drafts at the moment. Right. I was in the Gordon Gecko WhatsApp group.
Yeah. I've seen them. I'm going to watch them. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're just drafts. They're a bit. But I just was using the guys as guinea pigs to see if there was interest in it.
Because
I wanted to just jump in doing live trading, but then I would be going, well, I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and this, and this. And I knew I would be talking lingo. So I wanted these to be very, very clear to understand, what orders are, what the software is, what a scanner does, all that sort of stuff. So, so that'll be coming soon. I'm going to be working on it over the next month or so. And hopefully it'll be something exciting. Cool. Okay. Is it Mark?
I want to shout out Robin for finally being a Series X owner. Yay! Did you set it up with the app? How did you get on with it? It's quite cool, isn't it?
Yeah, the setup is really, really simple.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Yeah.
And Mark, I haven't played a game on it. I haven't started a game on it. Well, the kids haven't started a game on it. Darn all squared.
Yeah. Did you have that underwhelming feeling I had? Like, you use the app to set it all up and you think, Well, it just looks like my old Xbox dashboard. But is it until you play a game that you see the difference? But anyway, okay. So shout out to Robin. Right. Shout out to my new chess friend, the legit chinny. shout out to you guys. Shout out to Kim, who is not a cat killer. And I won't kill any more cats, Kim, sorry. And a big shout out to John Wilson, John Mouse from the Joysticks and Chill podcast. Because we keep having a laugh on the old Discords, and he's just a star.
Right.
So, yeah, big shout out to John. I'll let you take
otherwise
us out, Greg.
You might poop in your letterbox.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Shout out to the four of you. Thanks for taking some time on a Sunday, hanging out, having a laugh, talking games, talking life. It's been fun. I want to shout out to Fraser Moores. Because he got me thinking burgers after listening to the podcast, and I really, really want a good hamburger now. Shout out to Pete and his chess playing. Also, check out the video, Four Queens, a King, and a Cup. I'm sure you won't be disappointed. On that note, I think we should say come back next week. We'll be here. And until then, listen to this.
Yeah, until then. Pete, get your webcam fixed. See you later.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.